John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Donald Trump is investigating Jerome Powell for corruption, and Trump has come down on Powell before, but for the first time, it has broken into an all-out brawl between the two of them. We also talk about Trump's 10% cap on credit card interest, and Candace Owens does a whole show about her fantasy dreams about Charlie Kirk. Stick around for that, guys. As always, check out my sponsor, Quick Tax America. They do all federal taxes for only $76 in the description below. So Donald Trump is going after Jerome Powell, and I have what I would consider a more nuanced opinion on the Fed and on this, and I also have some tough truth for Republicans today, especially on the credit card interest. Before I share those, I want to show you what Trump is investigating Powell for. He was asked about it this week. Here was his response.
Bad Fed chairman. He's bad in a lot of different ways, but he's bad because his interest rates were too high, and today we had a great inflation report. And today we had a really great growth report. So we have great growth and low inflation. And we're doing very well.
Do you think there's going to be a rate cut, though?
I don't know. With this guy, you don't know. He's got some problems. But what he also did, he's renovating a small building. It's the most expensive construction job in history. And it's only a renovation. I could have done that job for $25 million. They're spending billions and billions of dollars. He either doesn't know what he's doing or it's worse than that.
So really the problems with Powell are twofold. One, he has been manipulating interest rates on a partisan basis. We'll get into that in a second. And two, he lied under oath to Congress on how much this renovation would cost. And I want to focus on that second one first, since that is what the DOJ is actually prosecuting him for. They're prosecuting him for perjury, for lying in front of Congress. He told Congress that it would cost $1.9 billion to do this renovation, and it has ended up costing $2.5 billion. So that's $600 million more, not a small amount. And frankly, when you think about the Fed, this is the crazy part, and I think this is the point that Donald Trump is trying to make. It is crazy that they even need enough office space that would be worth that much, let alone a renovation. To think about the Fed, which really doesn't do all that much, taking up billions of dollars of real estate is just asinine to me. And I think it's totally possible that there is some fraud or collusion going on there. And so I think this should be investigated, and I'm glad it is. Powell reacted to the subpoenas because he has to testify in front of Congress now, in front of the DOJ as well, with a pretty serious video that has now gone viral. Here is what he put out.
The threat of criminal charges is a consequence of the Federal Reserve setting interest rates based on our best assessment of what will serve the public, rather than following the preferences of the president. This is about whether the Fed will be able to continue to set interest rates based on evidence and economic conditions, or whether instead monetary policy will be directed by political pressure or intimidation. I have served at the Federal Reserve under four administrations, Republicans and Democrats alike. In every case, I have carried out my duties without political fear or favor, focused solely on our mandate of price stability and maximum employment. Public service sometimes requires standing firm in the face of threats.
And this is where things get a little complicated, and I think we have to face some harsh truths. As Jerome Powell has said, he's got two jobs: keep inflation down, keep unemployment down. Buying mortgage-backed securities and changing the interest rates is how he manages those. And if you look at what he's done, I think Jerome Powell is taking on a little bit more flack than he deserves. If you raise interest rates, it makes debt more expensive, so less money floods into the market and inflation goes down, and the inverse is true as well. If you look at inflation just now, inflation came in at 2.7%, not nearly as high as under Biden. I think that should be celebrated. All of that is totally fine, but the goal is 2%. And I don't want anyone to mistake the 2.7% for let's drop rates down to 3%. That would not work. What Powell has done over the past few months is slowly reduce interest rates. And by the way, it's not just Powell. There's a board of governors, I believe it's 12 of them, and a majority makes the decision. That's how it works. It's not just Powell. He's just the chairman. So he's a spokesperson for all of this. By the way, a lot of people forget this. Jerome Powell was put in by Donald Trump in 2017, and Trump has put many of those governors down. So this idea that he's a dictator, it's just not true. Again, not a huge fan. I'm not saying Jerome Powell is like my favorite guy in the world. I just think sometimes in politics, we like to make people out to be enemy numero uno, when in reality, he's kind of just a guy. If he gets caught up in fraud, prosecute him to the fullest. In terms of what he's done over the last few months with slowly reducing interest rates, that was the proper response. This is exactly what he should do. Dropping rates to 3% overnight would be a colossal mistake. It would make inflation skyrocket. That's not an opinion. That is just an economic fact. So I've got no problem with Jerome Powell on that. My problem, and this is where I think that it could be an impeachable offense, is that he reduced rates 1 month before the 2024 election, and he had no business doing it. None. Because I think back then inflation was coming in a little over 3%. If inflation is coming in over 3%, this is, I guess, an opinion, but I don't think a controversial one, you should not be reducing rates at all. And everybody thought, no, in that October, again, elections in November, they meet in October, everyone's thinking to themselves, they're not going to reduce rates. And yet they did. And it's impossible to look at that and not think anything other than that's partisan. They are trying to make the economy look better for Democrats so they would win. It didn't work, but I think it was overtly partisan. Now, a lot of people are talking about abolishing the Fed entirely. That's a different conversation. I am not making the case today. That's going to take a much longer video. Not making the case that the Fed should stay around. But since the Fed is here, today let's talk about what needs to change. Jerome Powell needs to step down. It needs to be done. It is perfectly okay that the Trump admin is investigating him for partisanship and fraud. Again, we got to remember he was put in by Trump, so he's not a plant by Democrats, but that doesn't mean he's not committing fraud, and it doesn't mean that Democrats didn't get to him later on. We also have to remember that the Fed, as it exists, must remain somewhat independent, and this is the harsh truth that I'm trying to give Republicans that we have to be very careful on. It doesn't mean that they should be untouchable. The Fed is still a branch of the executive branch. I know we like to pretend it's not, and people act like the Fed should be independent of any scrutiny. That's not what I'm saying here. It needs to be independent of partisanship. I'm a bit worried right now by who's going to replace Powell. Right now, Trump is talking about putting in, there's basically four main candidates. You've got the CIO of BlackRock. That's terrifying to me. That would be horrible. And then the other three people he's floated are governors on the Fed, that's fine, but they have talked about wanting to reduce rates, and they've done it again in a pretty partisan way. Like, you could go to Donald Trump as a governor if you're trying to get promoted to chairman and say, hey, if you put me in, I'm going to reduce rates. That right there is not independent. That is ladder climbing and doing something to the economy in order to get ahead. And that's the main problem with that. If we reduce rates too fast, inflation will skyrocket. If there's a perception that the sitting president can just put in a Fed chair that will do whatever they want, we're in serious trouble. Because again, that's not just a Republican thing, because that means Democrats can do it too, and investors are not going to like that. The reason why the economy works is because there's some sort of stability, and there is a perception that the Fed is somewhat independent. If the perception from outside markets looking into the US, if they want to invest in the US, is that whatever the president wants, the chairman will do, they're not going to invest in America. Again, I guess an opinion, but really not a controversial one. The independence from partisanship is what makes the Fed possible. If it loses that, the economy is going to seriously suffer. Again, I'm fine to replace Jerome Powell, but the perception cannot be that someone's going to do whatever Trump wants. I don't want that to be true for Trump. I don't want it to be true for the next Democrat president. It's not really a partisan opinion that I have. It's just economics. And I think nearly every economist would agree with me on this. Taxes sucks, guys. But I wanted to tell you about the people who do my taxes because they make it so much easier. QuickTax America, in honor of our 250th anniversary as a country. For $17.76, they are doing all federal tax returns for only $76. And they do all the work for you. All you got to do is fill out a 15-minute questionnaire, upload your documents, and schedule a 15-minute finish your return call to make sure that they get you every credit deductible possible. They got their average returner over $3,000 back last year. They're absolutely fantastic. Go check them out at quicktaxamerica.com right now or when you get those tax documents. Donald Trump has come out, said that he is capping credit card interest at 10%, and banks and borrowers are panicking right now. Here is what Trump put out. this tweet. He said, please be informed, we will no longer let American public be ripped off by credit card companies that are charging interest rates of 20 to 30% and even more, which festered unimpeded during the sleepy Joe Biden administration. Unaffordable. I, as president of the United States, am calling for a one-year cap on credit card interest rates of 10%. So, you guys know I'm a massive fan of Trump. You know, I think his first term economic policy was fantastic. I think that shows in the polls. If you look, people were most satisfied with the economy in 2018 and 2019. What he did was fantastic. But Trump has been stuck this term, I think, between free market conservatism and populist socialism. And this populist socialism has permeated a lot of his presidency in the second term, frankly. And this is Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren policy through and through, this credit card stuff. In fact, because Trump doesn't have the legal authority to do this from the executive branch, he reached out to Elizabeth Warren in the Senate to get it passed there, which I think tells you a lot. He didn't reach out to Republicans. He reached out to Elizabeth Warren because he knows this is the kind of thing that she would love. And I know it's become popular to call everything usury. A lot of people, again, Republicans, are coming out in favor of this because it feels like you're getting ripped off if something has a high interest rate. But this is not good. Celebrating the government cracking down on big loaners is, you know, it sounds good, but let's dive into what this policy would actually mean. The EPC just came out with a study that shows with this policy, around 80% of Americans would either lose their ability to qualify for a credit card at all, or their credit would get severely limited. And the question, why, is because the credit card rates are set by lenders because it allows them to take the risk. Anyone can get a credit card. I mean, again, you are taking money from someone else and paying that back over time. In fact, for the first month, you don't even have to pay them back on interest. And it's become so widely available. And the reason why is because of that high interest rate. It allows them to take that risk. Just think for a second. If someone came to you and said, hey, man, I make $80,000 a year, and they want you to give them the ability to borrow $15,000 a month, at what interest rate? You have to think for yourself. Would you feel comfortable giving them that money? Would 10% be enough? Because for me, it would definitely not. Not even close. If it were my money personally, that rate would be like 100%. Like honestly, because that risk is so high. You're talking about someone with a pretty medium income asking for quite a lot of debt. You know, that ability, it's not that everyone takes out that much debt, but they could if they wanted to. That's what a credit card is. And that is the simple calculus lenders would have to run if they were forced to give 10% rates. Like, who is worth taking that risk on? And what it would come down to is they would take your borrowing max from $10,000 a month to $1,000 a month. And that's what your credit card would be. So rewards are off the table. And if you needed to make any large purchase with a credit card, it just wouldn't be possible. And that would be for people making, you know, $80,000 and up. But if you're making $50,000, $60,000, forget about it. I mean, your rewards would go away, but you wouldn't even have a credit card anymore. Most people just wouldn't even qualify. And that means if you need debt, you can go to a payday lender or like a pawn shop. Those are your options. And those are much, much more predatory than even a credit card company, which is what they did, by the way, in Soviet Russia and all those other places. And everyone was very poor. So this has already been played out on the world stage before. I don't know why the US wants to go that route. I really hate the socialism that's making its way into the Republican Party. This is not a productive policy at all. The reality is nobody is forcing you to go get a loan at 28%. That's what a credit card is, right? You're taking out a loan at about 28% interest, depending on who you are. But under our current system, that's an option to you. If you want to go do that, you don't have to. Nobody has to do that. If you want to, you can do it. Under a 10% credit card rate cap, that option is just gone for you. It's just, you're just limiting the freedoms. That's all it is. Personally, I would rather that nobody even use credit cards because I think they're corrosive. I think they're bad for personal finance. That's not even controversial at all. We're over $1 trillion in, you know, personal debt. No, I'm not, that's not even including, you know, mortgages, homes. That's just personal loans, credit cards, and car loans. I think those are horrible for our personal finances and freedom, but not having that option at all is a greater limit on our freedom, in my opinion. I've said for a long time that Scott Bessent is the driver of good economic policies in the Trump admin. That is not the person who suggested this. This 100% came from J.D. Vance, Peter Navarro, maybe Howard Lutnick. But it did not come from Scott Bessent. The reason why I say that is because among some of these poorer ideas, he's had a very good one. He said this week that they are going to make sure fraudsters like the Somalians in Minneapolis won't be able to rip America off anymore and send money overseas. They have a new policy implemented to do that. Here's what he said about it.
So we're lowering that to 3,000.
Oh, good.
And we're also targeting the two counties here, and we're going to do enhanced surveillance. And from now on, anyone who wires money out from one of these money service businesses has to check a box saying whether they are on public assistance. And if you are on public assistance, we are going to start pushing that you cannot wire money out of the country.
Oh, gosh. Well, and what if they lie and they don't tell us for public assistance?
Well, then
that's a crime, lying on a federal form.
That right there is the policy that we want. Stop the fraud and then increase the freedom. That's what we want. We don't want people to take away the ability for us to get credit cards and the rewards that come with them. In other news, guys, Candace Owens has revealed some more hard-hitting journalism while looking into Charlie Kirk's assassination. Interviews, documents, proof. No, none of those actually. That's not what she dabbles in. Candace Owens is sharing her dreams again because that is the real journalism that needs to be done. She is sharing that she had a dream that she was at Netanyahu's wife's funeral and that Charlie Kirk spoke to her about an impending betrayal that he would get. I have the full clip of all of this. Here it is.
Anyways, the setting of this particular dream, however, had one dramatic difference. We were not there for the opening of the embassy. And this difference, by the way, I don't really understand yet. I'm just sharing it with you. Instead, we were there in this dream setting for Bibi Netanyahu's wife's funeral. Again, that makes entirely no sense. I've never met his wife. I've never spoken about his wife. I know nothing about his wife. So that's just the context of it. I don't make the rules of dream world. And obviously, as we were sitting there, it didn't strike me as weird because when you're in your dream state, everything that happens for some reason feels like, oh yeah, this is totally normal. Anyway, Charlie said to me, I don't have much time. He followed that up explaining to me that I needed to see what happened on his left. And he told me explicitly, they betrayed me, multiple people. And I said, I know, but who? Then came the frustrating part of the dream. Every time I would say who, you know when you're in a dream and you go who, or you try to speak in the dream, and then suddenly you're actually speaking in real life and you start to wake yourself up from the dream by accident. That's what kept happening. And whenever I would try to listen to what he was saying, it sounded like he was underwater. So I was frustrated by this. I can't get to the part where you tell me who betrayed you. It wasn't until the third week after his death that finally one face came through in this dream. It came through as clear as day from around the corner of the restaurant. And it was Andrew Kolbetz. Now you have to imagine in the immediate aftermath of this, I was not thinking Turning Point USA. Where we're at today is almost like unimaginable going back there. In fact, I was very friendly with Andrew Kolbetz. We had spoken extensively in the aftermath of Charlie's death. I've known him for years, and I felt really weird about having seen him in this dream, but it was so vivid and it was so compelling that I felt that as weird and as odd as it was, that I had to text him and tell him what I saw. And this is the text, just sharing with you so you guys know if this all really happened. I said, I rarely have vivid dreams, but I had one clear as day this weekend. Charlie came to me and he sat down and he told me that he did not have much time, that I needed to know that he was in fact betrayed and that they are hiding what happened to my left. I believe his soul is in purgatory and I believe that you know much more than you've said publicly or privately. And Andrew Kolbetz never answered.
She has lost it. I am genuinely starting to believe she may have a weird mental fantasy relationship with Charlie Kirk beyond the grave. I really mean that. You know, he's no longer with us. I really think she's having an emotional affair with a deceased person. I don't know what else to say. I mean, she's been talking about him for 4 months now, and he's appearing in her dreams every single night. She actually spoke about critics like myself who say her dreams are just loony. Here's what she said.
LOL, Candace has dreams. Why did she talk about her dreams? How dare she discuss her dreams? Only weird people have dreams and then tell others about them. Ugh, dreams are ridiculous. They shouldn't be listened to. So the question becomes, who exactly is making these terrible PR decisions? Like who thinks, yeah, what we need to do today is we have to attack the dream?
Yes, only weird people have dreams about a man who had no relationship with you towards the end of his life. That is weird. And it seems you dream about him every day. This is not the first one. We've heard this over and over again. And then to distribute that on your podcast as a piece of journalism, it's incredibly weird. It's okay to call that out. And I want to be clear on this, actually. I believe that dreams are absolutely a form of revelation. If you're trying to connect with God and understand what he wants for you, dreams are a way that that can happen. It's very biblical. To name the most famous example, of course, Joseph in Egypt, a dreamer. He saves Israel and Egypt from famine through dreams. That is his gift. And he passes that down through his son, Manasseh. And I believe that his descendants and many other people can have that same ability. But my problem is not actually this idea that people can talk to God through dreams. My problem is Candace is not that person. Like, by their fruits, you shall know them. That is the most maybe important verse of scripture in the New Testament. Candace's fruits are gossiping on the internet about a widow. That's what she does. She's not a prophet. She's a liar. So maybe her dreams are coming from the devil. I don't know. Maybe they're all just a bunch of lies. She doesn't have any evidence to back up any of her claims about Erica Kirk or Turning Point USA. So you have to think from her perspective, what is the easiest way to come up with some pseudo evidence? Bring up something nobody else could have possibly seen, dreams. Hey guys, I want to give a quick shout out to RetiredTravel.com, a retirement income planning platform designed around travel, hobbies, and experiences. What I like about what they're doing is they don't start retirement planning with spreadsheets, withdrawal rates, or assumptions. Retire to Travel built a process specifically to help people see their retirement plans in terms of real life. The trips that you want to take, the hobbies you want to enjoy, and the memories that you want to create. Instead of asking how much money are you wanting to withdraw every month, they ask, what do you want your retirement to actually look like? If you're the kind of person who hates the financial jargon, just wants clarity around the life that you're working toward, it is worth checking out. You can explore it at retiredtotravel.com. Create your own custom retirement plan with nothing out of pocket. You can also head to the description below.
John Daly here.
You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.